May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, for me, I would say as a summary, there's excellent examples of how to live like God wants us. And there's excellent teachings for us to follow. And also, I would say, the summary for me at first was, no worries, God has our back. And it's true, because our God has so much value that we can't even perceive how wonderful and how unlimited his love is. We can't begin to even realize the depth of how much God loves us and is trying to hold on to us. We can't conceive his goodness. We can't conceive his love. God's great gift of Jesus Christ it shows us the length to which our Creator will go to keep us with him and within his loving arms. It also shows his abundance, the self-giving that God does, his acceptance, his forgiveness, his tolerance, his love, his faith and trust in each and every one of us. So I would say for me and for all of us, let's not disappoint. And we can try to grow as we learn in the gospel. But before I go on, I have to say, I think this is one of the most beautiful collects because it's all just, you know, so true. We know that God is our protector and we trust in him. And it's when we trust in God, we can be stronger. We can be holy. And we're asking God to increase his mercy on us and to guard us, to guide us, and to be our ruler. Why? Because we want to be able to go through life and not be distracted by temporal things, because we really don't want to lose out on eternal life. We might think for a moment, if I said, okay, if somebody was going to win a lottery and get $400 million, or you can have eternal life, which would you pick? For sure, I bet there's not one person in here that really wouldn't pick eternal life with God. So there we have it. And we're on to 1 Kings with Solomon. And God asks him, he says, well, what should I give you? Well, we know from all that is written here that Solomon recognized, he was aware that all of God Almighty did for him. And so his answer, the short answer, is he cared for others first. He says, give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. So he was aware that all of the people were God's people. And he says, help me to be able to discern between good and evil. He didn't ask for himself. He didn't ask, as we heard, for riches or long life, for the life of his enemies, which to me, that would not be good. But I wonder, what would I really ask for first? And I wouldn't know unless God came down and said that to me. But what was God's response to Solomon? He was pleased and he was impressed. He said, well, because you have asked this, not for yourself, but you asked for wisdom, because you have asked for understanding to discern what is right, I will give you a wise and discerning mind. That's an example of Christ, even though it was the Old Testament. Solomon, like St. Paul, was aware of all that God did for him and aware of all who God is. Now in Romans, I have to say, I just love this first verse because I preached about it, I think, on Tuesday, and maybe even up here. But it talks about the Holy Spirit helping us in our weakness. And I said before, and here it is in the Bible, and this is where I got it from. But that very spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. So when we're at our wit's end, and all we can do is sigh, that's actually the Holy Spirit in us crying out to God, help! I need help. And then what happens at that point? God has our back. God searches our hearts. God searches our minds with the mind of the Holy Spirit. And He knows who we are better than we know who we are ourselves. And then it gets a little confusing here where it says, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. What that means is God gave everybody, all of His creation, all of His people, the ability and the opportunity to be like Christ. But we have a choice. And we choose each and every day, maybe 100 times every day, are we going to be selfish like what we want, or are we going to exemplify Christ in everything we think, do, and say? But no matter what, Paul knew best. He said, don't worry, because our goal is to focus on God's opinion on us, not anyone else's. He says, if God is for us, who is against us? What does it matter? If God is really for us, nothing else matters. And then he explains the depth of his love. He says, he who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us. It is God who justifies us. We don't have to worry about any charges from anyone except from God Almighty. No one can condemn us except for Jesus Christ, who died and, yes, was raised from the dead. And then this is used a lot of times at funerals because it is very comforting. Paul says, so who will separate us from the love of Christ? And the short answer is no one. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ unless we choose to separate ourselves from the love of Christ. But even if we do choose that, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, His only Son, and the Holy Spirit waits for us because He loves us that much with open arms and open hearts and total forgiveness. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And that's the treasure and the promise of our God and our Savior. And then we come to the parables. And basically, what I said before about us growing, that's what we accomplish. God's will and His way, each and every one of us, together with the help of the Holy Spirit, and by studying and learning what God wants from us personally and as a church. With God's help, if we say yes, even though we may think we're tiny and insignificant, from our faith, our love, and our action, we can do mighty deeds for God. And what might seem insignificant in the world's eyes is not insignificant in God's eyes. Even our little pantry, God is pleased with that because we're helping those in need. But we do need growth in order to spread God's will and His ways. We do need growth and understanding of the love of God if we want to share His abundance of His heavenly kingdom. So our lives, our actions, our thoughts, our words, everything are to be heavenly actions. And when they are, it glorifies our Lord. It glorifies our God. So we can ask ourselves, like, the mustard seed. Are we a home? Are we a safe haven for others? Are we a loving, loving place for others? Are we a treasure for the world that that God gives us to the world? Do we do that for God? Are we a treasure for others? And are we still growing in Christ? Or are we at a stagnant part in our life, a stagnant time? Well, Christ is always there for us, no matter what. So I would think at this time we can just pray for ourselves and each other that we continue to grow, continue to be brave, continue to be strong and loving, and share what we have with the world. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your protection, your guidance, your love, your tolerance, and your forgiveness. We ask that we can imitate you in all that we think, in all that we say, and in all that we do. And we ask that the love of Christ shines from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.